Hey everybody, this is Jesse. Greg has been working a ton and he's not with me this week, but hopefully he'll stop working so much and have some free time. This week I have a special guest. He goes by the name of Gramps McTravington. His official title is Professor Gramps McTravington. We call him that because he's super old, but he's also super smart. Most of you probably know him as Travis Turner. He most notably known for being the drummer of Alethean, Unteachers, things like that. Travis, what's up? Say hello.
I feel like the podcast got off to a bad start. I don't care for the Gramps McTravington stuff.
Well, too bad. You're just going to have to get over it.
There's no way to edit that. Okay, all right.
Now, there is a way, but I'm too lazy, so
got it. Happening. That I believe. That's what's the problem with you younger generation. I definitely. Hi, everyone. How are you out there in podcast land?
So, we mentioned you are the drummer for Unteachers.
And I am.
Everybody in the world can't see us, but you can see the video behind me. And you see all those boxes behind me?
I do.
Yeah, that's the Unteachers record.
Ready to go?
No, not ready to go. Waiting on some
almost,
art.
Almost ready to go. Pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, super close. Stevie, mm-hmm. I actually, not, you know, maybe an hour and a half ago, I talked to Stevie about it, and he's finishing up some of the art stuff he had to work on. So,
got it.
It's very exciting. It's a great album. Yep. The vinyl looks amazing. When we were originally talking, Steven and I, about vinyl colors, I thought the baby blue was a dumb idea, and it turned out to be my favorite.
I think the blue looks amazing from the pictures that I've seen. I'm a little confused on how when you order gold, it comes back orange. But you know what? Looks awesome. So.
Yeah, well, there's a couple like the overseas plants in the Czech Republic and stuff. When they do gold, it comes out looking gold-ish, bronze-ish, kind of.
They don't have colors over there. Is that what you're saying?
No, they do, but like the plants in the U.S., the gold is all that kind of translucent, orangish-looking thing.
Why do you hate? Let's get into that. Why do you hate the Czech Republic so much?
I don't hate the Czech Republic so much. There's a lot of reasons why I don't like using the overseas plants. And I'm probably going to do a podcast on that pretty soon about how to make a record. I get that question so much of like, hey, what do I do? And
I would listen to that.
Yeah. And the answer, there's a lot of different things involved, obviously. And I'm going to hit up a couple people I know that are actually involved in the physical process of making the records and try to get them on to talk about it. But there's a lot of reasons why I don't like the overseas plants, and I have a good relationship with a couple plants here in the U.S., so I use them. Mm-hmm. At any rate, the Unteachers album is almost out. How long ago did you guys when was the last time you were in the studio for this album?
Good grief. I officially quit the band last March or April, not this past, the one before of 2013.
So like a year and a half plus ago.
Well, that's when we kind of disbanded. To answer your question, probably 6, 7, 8 months before that. So, I mean, mid to late 2012, maybe, would be the last actual recording stuff, I think.
That you did. Because I know Steven,
that I did. Yeah,
because yeah, I know Steven was in there reamping guitars and doing vocals and lots of stuff.
Plus, we went back and redid some things. So he had guitar parts completely finished and other songs that I hadn't even started drums with, or we decided to go back and retrack and stuff. So it was kind of all over the place. It was a messy process getting it done, just because of all kinds of circumstances. Nobody's fault in particular. Just kind of a chaos. getting it done. Yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, I imagine we'll have Steven on the podcast too, and I'm sure we'll talk about the album. Even just from the time you guys finished it, and it was kind of handed off to me. It's been a bit of a nightmare too, but it's nice to have have it 99% done. And actually, probably by the time this podcast airs, we might even be actually shipping them out by then. Steven,
that's great.
We just about got it all wrapped up, and we expect to ship them by the 21st. So
great.
But we faced a lot of delays with the plant, with artwork, and with a whole lot of reasons. But it's a great album. It really is. I think for the people who... It's not, you know, it's not a Foo Fighters album that 90 million people are going to love, but for the people that, for the audience that it, like, speaks to, it's going to be a bit of a game changer, I think. It's that level of an album, so.
Foo Fighters recorded their new album in, like, 8 different cities across the country, and they still managed to get that done quicker than we got this one done. But, yeah, I am very proud of it. I think Steven kind of laid the path to have... I feel like we're doing an interview now. Steven kind of laid the path for me to really, like... This was one of the most wide-open drumming projects I ever did, where it was like, you can play whatever you want. And I come from a heavy background. I used to do, you know, tech metal stuff and all that and everything. But this was really, like, the sludgy, ugly, grimy underbelly side of some of the heavier, sludgier stuff. And... It let me be everything from the double kick metal grind guy that I've done before all the way to, like, kind of some new stuff that I never really recorded songs that sounded like the Melvins, and then within 4 bars it sounded like Tom Waits. It was all over the place, and I had to do my best to keep up with him because he's like a mad scientist genius nut. So it was I think it's probably my best. I think it's my best drumming my favorite. To go back and just listen to what I did and what I wrote and everything, I think I'm the most impressed with this album, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's neat to listen to as well. You can tell there's a lot of non-typical, you know, I mean, there's some hand drums and some non-typical percussion stuff in there too,
right
there.
Yeah, the percussion wasn't me. That was Rick, the drummer from Tantrum.
Oh, cool.
He came into the studio one day, and we kind of clumped all the percussion together because we wanted him involved. We're all friends. I mean, Steve and Rick go back forever. I go back with Steve further than anybody because we're related. But Rick has been, like, his closest friend forever, and we just wanted him involved somehow. So Rick came in and did his. He's like, working with Rick is like getting hit with a tornado. He comes in, wrecks everything, and leaves. And you have to clean up. But he did a great job. We had so much fun with him. And yeah, he did all of the percussion, except there's like a xylophone part in one of the songs that actually our bass player Josh played. Other than that, all I did was drum kit stuff and, like, additional cymbal swells and stuff like that.
That's cool. I guess I didn't realize that. You know, maybe Steven told me that a long time ago that Rick was doing that. I just spaced it or something.
Or it's 4-year-old information. Who would remember that, you know? Yeah.
Well, now Steven and I started talking about the album. Hey, he called me in, like, August or something of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Greg from Crux had kind of introduced us, and yeah, and he was like, oh yeah, we got the album, like, you know, maybe halfway done, so yeah, cool. No, if you're gonna put it out, that gives us motivation to finish it. And then here we are, you know, 3+ years later.
Well, what I mean, in everybody's defense, yeah, I mean, the album was volunteered to be recorded by my friend Brad, who has his own studio in Easton, Pennsylvania. He has a home studio that he built himself, and when you walk in, it just looks like a small pro studio. He did a great job. So you're bending around the schedule of a guy who has a full-time job and has 2 kids, and, you know, that kind of thing. Plus, not to mention...
Steven
lives 2 hours away from me, and you know, by the time, like, we would literally send, like, chain emails to each other. I'm available this date and this date. How about you? No, not that date. No, not this date. I can't come in. Da 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 da. And we finally land on a date 6 weeks out. So, like, a month and a half would go by between, you know, it isn't like we went in and recorded on Saturday and Sunday. We recorded on the first Saturday in April, and then again on the last Sunday in May. Like, it's the best we could do, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got a job and you got a family and, you know, everybody.
Yeah, I know. I know. I got a job and family. They really impede my music career. They really get in the way. Fun time, you know? But we did our best with it, and we made some rookie mistakes too. I've been recording in bands for a long time, and yeah, we went in there and I recorded some crap, man. I just, you know, we got some stuff back, and they were like, dude, it's just not tight. That's not you. I was like, yeah, you're right. Bad day or whatever. Scrap them, start over. And again, okay, hit the waste basket. I'll see you in 6 weeks. We'll try again. You know, it was a friggin' train wreck at some points, and it's everybody's fault, and it's nobody's fault. You know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean,
you know.
It's not easy. If it's easy, everybody
would
do it.
What'd you do? Drag me on the air to yell at me, man?
Yeah, probably. Pretty much.
Okay.
No, okay. Well, I mean, we can. This did turn into an Unteachers interview.
I don't care.
But, let's play some music. What have you been listening to lately?
Okay. I have my phone with me right here, and I have some notes as to what I wanted to bring up. And my phone happens to be made by a small company called Apple. And it actually has an MP3 player right in it. It's pretty neat.
What is this technology you speak of?
The first band I was going to bring up, I'm from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for anybody who gives a crap. And I have a pretty happening local scene around here. I have some bands around here that I go see and I hang with or whatever. And I was introduced to a punk band called The Transmission Now. They their lead singer Phil turns out he lives like literally four streets away from me. He lives in my development. He is a home studio. He's another guy that has like a pro studio. And he sings and plays guitar for this punk band. He recorded my old band that I used to be in. And then just kind of in talking, yeah, I'm recording at this guy's house in your development. Oh, really? Who's that? I don't know that guy. Blah, 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 blah. He's in a band. You should come check him out. Turns out now me and Phil are like hanging out, and he does a great job, man. The whole band does. Have you heard of a band called Digger?
Nope.
Okay. They used to be on Fearless Records, and they were like a legit thing from around here. And no, they were on Hopeless Records, not Fearless. Somethingless. Anyway, but they just put out a 7-inch called White Knight, and this song is called Time Bomb, and I dig it, and I've been listening to these guys lately, so here it is.
All right, cool. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Can't speak. Emergency surgery. everything the same. My questions still remain. You boycott your brain. You answer with fists. My questions still persist. You can rearrange my face, but you can't rearrange my mind. You can beat the shell about me, but you can't touch what's inside.
Choice.
Yeah. I remember seeing those guys once after. I saw them a couple times, but I think the last time I saw them was on the Today's Empire, Tomorrow's Ashes tour, and that was about the time he turned in. He was like, their metal roots were showing through a lot more at that point, and he was just like, I remember they played the song with like the squealing pig, you know, and he like, at the end of it, he's like, oh man, I soloed so hard I broke a string. And he had all these like comments about how metal he was all the time and stuff.
truth be told, my friend Josh Pendley is a bass player from around here. He just in talking to him back and forth, he said, I said, hey, you ever heard of this band? You ever heard of that band? And he just said, you ever listened to Propaganda? Just recently. I'm not joking around, within the past month. Is the first time I ever listened to Propaganda in my life.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Funny you brought them up. And he Dropboxed me Potemkin City Limits, and I can't stop listening to it. That was actually going to be one of the bands that I brought up what have I been listening to lately as opposed to what's new, but you just played the Propaganda card, so.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we could play something off that album. That's a much later album than How to Clean Everything.
I have Potemkin and Today's Empire, Tomorrow's Ashes loaded in my phone, and I bet I've listened to each album 2-3 times just while I'm working. First ever, like, never listened to them before, and I'm really getting into them. And they're one of those bands that like you were talking about some ideas on what to talk about in podcasts and everything. Another one we should do is how the heck did I not get into this band until now? You know what I mean? There's lots of music out there, and I'm just getting into certain bands, and people are like, they were out in 2004. I'm like, they're new to me, you know? So
yeah, no, there's all kinds of weird stuff like that for me, too.
Yeah. I went through and I copied a friend of mine. He just moved away to Pittsburgh, and he had like 8 entire giant Tupperware crates of CDs, and I took like years. I scanned, I burned, ripped, whatever. Every single CD into my collection. I took everything. And I have so much music in my hard drive, I'll never even listen to all of it. And one of the bands that shook loose, he actually recommended to me, was a band called The Exit. They got big around like 2006 and 2007, I think. And he said they kind of sound like a cross between the Clash and the Police. And I was like, well, there you go. That's perfect stuff. Let me hear it. I love the Exit. I listen to them like they're a new band, and they've been long gone forever.
That's cool. But I like maybe 2 years ago, I kind of discovered Concrete Blonde. I mean, I knew like the couple radio hits from
back in the day,
but like I just kind of discovered their first album and was like, this album's amazing. And everyone's like, yeah, shut up, Poser. Everybody already knows that album's amazing.
They were the ones that had Joey, right?
Yeah, they had that song.
That's the only song I know by them, I'm not going to lie.
I've got a couple of their albums now, and I like them, but the self-titled is by far my favorite. It's
really?
It's awesome. But in past episodes of the podcast, we talked about trying to come up with ways to have contests and give away some records or something like that.
Okay.
And we never came up with anything. Because, you know, the podcast format is not a live situation where, hey, the fifth caller gets,
right,
you know, whatever. So, if anybody has an idea of how to make some kind of a cool contest work, email us at blackvinylcollective@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Our Twitter name is, I already don't remember what it is. But
that's good.
Sure
it's really good.
But, okay, I did think of a contest. The intro music, which, Travis, you did not hear. If somebody can name the band, if somebody can name that song, I'll send them a record of some sort, some Veritas vinyl record.
That's a good one. There you go.
We'll just go with the, I guess, whoever, you can email us at blackvinylcollective@gmail.com and give as much info as you can. The person, if multiple people give the correct answer, then what?
Nothing. My kids are knocking on the door.
Oh. I thought you were waving at me like I can't hear you.
No, I'm sorry.
if we get like a handful of answers, whoever has the most complete one, and you're on your honor not to use the new iPhone app that says, you know, you hold it up and play the song.
Shazam!
I don't know if that would work with this song anyway, but if someone recognizes that song, email us or Facebook message us or some kind of interweb connect us and tell us the answer. And if you live in the U.S., I'll mail you a free record. If you live out of the U.S., you pay shipping and I'll mail you a free record.
That sounds good to me. We should probably start listening to other podcasts and see how they do contests also.
Yeah. What do you
they build up a Twitter following and then they do stuff on Twitter probably. You know what I mean? Something like that.
I don't know what our Twitter following is cuz I don't know how to work the Twitter really, but I think on Facebook we have some people. I don't really know. I really kind of despise social media, but that's a good question though. What, if any, podcasts do you listen to on a regular basis?
I listen to Mark Maron's WTF pretty regularly. I think he does an amazing interview. That guy is I really honestly think that he is legit being honest with people. He doesn't like put up like a yada-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, putting on a show kind of a thing. I think he's just straight legit and gets honest with people and if you've never seen the show that corresponds with his life, it's freaking hilarious. It's definitely for adults, but it's good stuff. I was listening to Moore Stories, Jay Moore, the comedian guy who has his own, his podcast was starting to get a little thin for me. It wasn't really doing it for me. That's it that I listen to regularly. I listen to Bill Burr, but I don't catch it every week. Once in a while I get in the mood to listen to what's his name? Greg Proops, the smartest man in the world. He goes on such crazy tangents sometimes that I get halfway through it and I'm like, man, I've been listening to him for half an hour. I don't remember what the hell he's talking about. He's all over the place, you know. But those are probably the regular ones, and I do more of the lighthearted comedy stuff too. And with my job, I just I can only half pay attention to stuff anyway because I'm working. So
yeah, I'm kind of the sometimes. Same way.
Yeah, sometimes you get lost. Like, what were they talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I got lost now. I don't feel like winding it back or whatever. But Mark Maron is the one that I think. If I lost all other podcasts and kept him, I probably wouldn't cry very hard. He's pretty good. I really like him.
That's cool. I usually listen to Ravi Zacharias has a daily podcast that's like 15 minutes or something. And
okay.
All the whole week they add up to like one whole thing. I listen to him and I just started listening to the Bad Christian podcast, which is the dudes from Emory. Which everyone can make fun of me. I like Emery's first album, but it's okay. I just kind of found it the last couple weeks ago, and it's pretty entertaining, I guess. There's like 40 episodes, and they're all like an hour and a half long. So if I stick with it, I'll check. You know, I'm sure there's plenty here.
It's called Bad Christian.
Yeah, the Bad Christian podcast. Yeah, no, they're pretty funny guys. I actually, Emery's not really my style, you know. Everybody kind of cries a lot in the music and whatever. But their first album, I got some Solid State or Tooth and Nail video sampler in the mail. And it was a video of, like, their singer was in, like, a full, like, sweatpants with jogging shorts pulled over it with, like, a headband. And, man, the video just cracked me up. It was, like, they were all being goofy and stuff, and yet it was just, like, song that, like, you picture the stereotypical emo kid, like, cutting himself and crying to. It was like, and I just went, something about it just made me go, like, okay, I like these dudes. These guys are funny. But
I couldn't name one Emery song, but I feel like, of all the Tooth and Nail compilation albums that we all got our hands on when we were younger, I'm sure I had an Emery song sneak in there.
I'm sure, yeah.
I can't remember any of it.
But, so what have you been listening to lately? Have you got any new records?
The newest actual vinyl that I got my hands on is not even here yet, but I ordered it. The band from Canada called Baptists. I love these guys. And, I had a buddy of mine got me into their first album. And then before you know it, they were recording their second one. And I ordered it, and I have the digital download for it already. The album's called Blood Mines. They're on Southern Lord. Crazy heavy, awesome. Like, I love them. I love the stuff. And that was actually going to be one of the songs I played. Was, which song was it? It was called Harm Induction from Baptists.
Yeah, you won't shut up about those guys.
No, I won't. I refuse to. They just have such a, they got that punk metal thing down, and the drummer, they made a big splash because Dave Grohl out of the blue was like, "Hey, Dave Grohl, what have you been listening to lately?" And he was like, "I'm checking out this band called Baptist. Their drummer, blah, 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 whatever his name is, like the best drummer out there right now that no one's ever heard of." So of course everyone went running to like, who are these people? And I think Baptist kind of, gained some, unexpected popularity because they got such a ringing endorsement from such a big rock star, but their drummer is crazy good. And, yeah, I really dig them. I love them. I'm not going to shut up about them, Jesse. I won't do it. I won't do it.
That's fine. I got the new Earth album not too long ago. I really like it. I don't know if you listen to Earth at all. Their newest.
I've heard them. I should give them a fair shake because I hear a lot of people that I respect musically tell me how good they are, and I keep and you and I should give them a fair shake. I just never do.
I think the new one's called Primitive and Deadly or something like that. I don't know. I got the vinyl of it, and it's maybe gold vinyl or something. I forget. It's some kind of cool vinyl, big double LP. And when I was there going to order that, I also found they had re-released or repressed the Bees Made Honey in the Lion's Skull, that album.
Right.
And they did that on, I don't know, silver or some kind of color vinyl, I already forget. But it's very cool gatefold packaging. That it's got like a leather book cover kind of like texture to it. Really cool release. I think it's sold out on the label's website, but if you find Earth's actual website, whenever I ordered mine a few weeks ago, they still had like 20 copies left, maybe, or something.
Oh, okay.
But both those albums are just really, really good.
Hmm.
I got some Pennywise reissues. I don't know. Nothing new, but they remastered Unknown Road, and it sounds a little better. And then they re-released the self-titled. Same. I already had the originals of both of them, but I bought the repress anyway.
Nice. Good old Pennywise.
Yeah. Oh, I got the new Witch Mountain record too. It's really, really good. But Udo's leaving the band, so that sucks.
I never even heard of Witch Mountain before you and Greg were talking about them on the last podcast.
Yeah, they're super cool. They're definitely the Stoner Doom kind of style.
Didn't you used to play with them and stuff?
Yeah, way back in the day when Grace and Thieves was still like an active band in the Northwest, we played a couple shows with them, and that's kind of the extent. But like the drummer, Nathan, his brother was Merlin, who was also in Gunpro, and when I was in Hardship, we played tons of shows with those guys, and Gunpro is another great band. You can't really find their stuff anywhere. Gunpro has a split 7-inch with Absolute Zero that I think I've probably already talked about on the podcast maybe several times, because that's how much I love it. Such a great split 7-inch. Both those bands, Gunpro and Absolute Zero, are awesome.
Dude's name is Merlin?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I had the courage to call myself Merlin.
Yeah. You know, like, my kids have kind of unique names. Like, my youngest son is Elihu, which is it's a name from Job chapter 32. It was also a real common Hebrew name back in the day, but nobody knows where it came from. Everyone thinks we just made it up, and it's a weird name. But we gave him a middle name of James. So if he's tired of people making fun of him for having a weird name, you know, he can just go by James or Jim or something. So
I went the other way. My oldest son's name is Joshua, which is the normal name. And his middle name is Zayin, which is the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at Psalms 119, it's divided into the 12 tribes. It's like cut up his messages to the 12 tribes. And the seventh one is Zayin. And that was the one verse that has something about... Wow, I'm really going to embarrass myself, because this was the idea for my son's middle name, and I can't remember how the... goes, but it was something along the lines of clanging cymbals or something, and it reminded me, it sounded like it was almost kind of aimed at like the artsy fartsy musician types, so I snuck that in there as his middle name. So I went the other way. I gave him the weird middle name, and he's just going to go with the plain boring first name.
You know, as long as they have the option, like, I think that's fair game. Name your kid whatever you want, but give him an out of, you know, John or Jack or whatever the standard name is.
Travis is my middle name. I don't go by my first name.
I think Professor is your first name.
That's correct. That's my Christian name. My parents named me Professor.
Professor, yeah. Gramps McTravington. So slap your mom in the face for that just horrific name next time you see her.
I hate you. I hate you so much. Why did I agree to do this?
Let's take a break and we'll play your Baptist song.
Okay, go.
Yeah!
You want me to forget. Pretend we've never met. And I've tried, but I haven't yet. You walk by and I fall to pieces.
That was Patsy Cline. I Fall to Pieces. I really like Patsy Cline. And actually, funny story, my kids love this. If you're familiar with the song, she goes, I fall to pieces. And for years, as a young child, when my mom would listen to that album, I thought she was saying that somebody named Toopy was saying that they fall. I fall, Toopy says. Yeah, I mean, like, I was an adult.
Are you gonna keep that? Are we recording?
I was an adult when I figured out, oh, it's I Fall to Pieces. That's the name of the song. Look here. Like, when I bought the CD for myself and saw the song title and was like, oh, look at that. Yeah, so that's how dumb I am.
Wow, I had no idea. I had no idea how deep the dumb went with you.
So anyway.
That's all right. So, the last podcast, you talked about biking a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't really bike that much because I have a car. But we should talk about things that we do that aren't music related.
I ride my bike.
Okay, that covers it. Back to music.
I go to work.
What do you do for fun?
I ride my bike or I play music.
That's it?
I can't think of anything else.
Well, every time I try to talk to you on the weekend, you have some giant thing going at your church.
Such as?
And you're like a Boy Scout leader or something. I forget.
Oh, Awana?
Oh.
That's it.
Awana's Wednesday.
What's it? Oh, whatever.
I don't actually do anything. The kids just go to that. But today they had their little soapbox derby race. And they make little cars out of little pine wood boxes or blocks of wood, you know.
That's what confused me, because I remember Cub Scouts did that.
Yeah. No, we did that today, and we cleaned house. Everybody, all my kids got a trophy. All the other kids were crying.
Nice.
Not really. No, we did actually all get trophies. We, you know, the first year we did it, when Ezra was real small, we made a car for him, and, like, the back wheel fell off, and it didn't even make it all the way down the track. And so we were just bound to determine that the next year we were going to have a car that at very least made it down the track. So I felt so bad for him. Like, everybody else's cars are shooting down this track, and it's got a little timer at the end. And, the back wheel fell off, and then we tried to glue it back on, glue the little axle on. We accidentally got glue inside the wheel where it spins on the axle, and so one wheel wouldn't spin, and it was just a massive failure. And so the next year, we really, like, I went on the internet and I Googled, like, How to Make a Fast Wanna Car, and he got second place that year, and every year since then, we just kind of crush it. And so we kind of actually decided this year that, like, we got to stop crushing it because other little kids need trophies.
Nah.
Yeah, they can all just...
That's what Google is for.
But some people take this really serious, this year we had a night where anybody who needed help building their car, my friend's got a local car stereo shop, and so we all just met at his little car stereo shop and helped any kid who needed help make a car. And then, like, the night before the race, we have a little, we call it the pit night, and get everybody's car up to weight, so it's the same. Everybody's at 5 nice. Ounces, so there's no unfair weight advantage, and we just let them, you know, they just slide it down this track, and whoever wins. But there are some secrets, and so we always tell people, you know, hey, here's all the secrets, and everyone always thinks they have a better idea, and so there's, like, two families that take home all the trophies, and everyone else just cries about it.
What design did you go with for the car?
It doesn't matter. You can make a block of wood. It doesn't make it any faster or slower.
I'm sorry. What theme did you go with? Like, how did you paint it? Did you put, like, Veritas stickers on it? Or
Well, they all made their own. Like, Mia just made kind of a wedge shape, and she painted it white, and she put Frozen, you know, the whatever. That's what it's called.
Oh, right.
The Ice Queen or whatever on it, and Abby painted hers black and silver stars all over it. And
that's pretty punk rock.
Yeah, Elihu had a purple stripe down the middle of his car. That was it. So, yeah.
My son painted his like a cop car. He painted it like black and white, and he put red and blue on the top. And I think he used like where the police car number would go on the trunk. He used our troop number or something.
That's cool. That's for cool. Cub Scouts.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for the 1 year he was in Cub Scouts, and then he was like, Dad, this is lame. I don't like being told what to do. And I was like, I feel you. Let's quit.
Yeah.
So
let's be lazy and not do things. The second year we did it, we put headlights in his car that work. Like, I put little LED lights in there and wired them up to a battery. But
right on.
The battery, I hooked it up to a 9-volt battery thinking, like, oh, this will make them bright. And we couldn't get enough wood chiseled out of the car to make it light enough to race with the battery, but still, it had working lights. That was cool.
That is pretty cool. That's impressive.
So, I know what you do in your spare time. You play disc golf.
If you want to call what I do playing disc golf.
No, wait. I believe it's called frisbee golf.
No. You can't call it frisbee golf around the disc golfers. They get mad. They get really offended. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not that guy that gets offended. I don't care what you call it.
Then what was that picture you sent me after I called it frisbee golf?
that was to be funny at how pissed they get. I don't care.
Sure.
No. Uh-huh. I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
Yeah,
I'm not mad.
We're all believing you right now.
I'm not mad. I just know that if you go into a shop that sells disc golf stuff and ask for frisbee golf stuff, they're gonna say something, and I just don't want you to embarrass. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. I'm gonna be the guy standing in the back of you giggling. I'm not gonna yell at you. But I enjoy it very, very much, and I got into it years ago. Didn't play it for the longest time. Played it once, loved it, wanted to get into it. Didn't get into it. And finally, this year, I decided, you know what? Let's give this a whirl. And as I'm getting into it, my wife is walking the dog, and she's like, what do you call those things that you throw the disc at? I said, I call them a goal. It's not, you know. And she's like, they're popping up in the field next to our house. And I was like, okay. I just assumed it was somebody that bought like a temporary one, and they were practicing, and they just left them outside or something. And she's like, no, they're like legit posted into the ground. And then like a couple days later, two more popped up. They actually built a scout group, built a 9-hole course in the cul-de-sac at the end of my cul-de-sac. Like, you turn left out of my house and it's right there. So I was like, heck yeah, giddy up. So I started playing like every day after work, if I could, if it wasn't like pouring rain, and now it's pretty cold out. But yeah, I'm really into it. That's my outside time, is just walking and throwing discs and then complaining that my arm is sore the next day, and then I do it again anyway. But I love it.
Yeah, if your arm is sore for more than like 3 weeks at this point, at like this age in life, that's just, you just have that pain now.
Yeah, I pretty much.
It doesn't go away.
Louis C.K. That just hurts now. That's just what that does. Yeah, I have a bad right shoulder. I mentioned earlier that I actually quit a band and my old band recorded with that guy. I quit because I was in two bands at the time.
Your old band recorded with Louis C.K.?
Whew, let's back that up. My old band, I had to leave the old band that recorded with the guy from Transmission Now. Damn it, Jesse, pay attention. My shoulder was falling apart. I couldn't handle that much punk rock anymore because I'm Gramps Professor McTravingston or whatever you call me, and I got a bum shoulder and I couldn't handle all those 16th notes on the hi hat, and I'm still dealing with shoulder problems from it. So I go out and I go disc golf, I try to take it easy, you know.
And so what he's saying is he's you can expect the next Grayson Thieves album to suck because he can't play fast anymore. So
no, it won't be suck. It won't suck. I'm just saying that when you called me and said, I want to put out the fastest, most furious punk thrash album ever, I said, I can't do that. We should probably slow it down and do more like sludgy doom stuff because my arm doesn't go fast anymore. And you said, okay, Grandpa, whatever you say, something like that. Something to that effect.
So, anyway, the thrash EP is coming out anyway. We made him record. He pulled it.
Yeah, we got sponsored by a leave. Cut down on my inflammation.
Here's where we cut to the scene and Wayne's were a little yellow. Effective.
We're effective. Yeah, man. I'm excited to hear that. I'm proud to say that I'm the member that lives furthest away from the core of Grayson Thieves.
Cool. Well, hey, speaking of Grayson Thieves, we rip off all kinds of ideas. And in fact, I think we had a review of a show once years ago that, like, the show would have been better if somebody would have turned down the Neurosis CD. Because, like, every time we'd be like, hey, man, you guys just sounded like you just played Word is Law front to back. Awesome, you know? So we always get compared to that. I want to play a Neurosis song coming up.
I saw Neurosis in 97 at Ozfest, and they played on the second stage at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the broad daylight.
Like the Through Silver and Blood era. Yeah.
And they still scared the hell out of me. Broad daylight. They were a nasty, crazy band. So if you're going to rip anybody off, well played, sir.
Yeah. Well, we do it poorly. But anyway... Here's Self-Taught Infection by Neurosis.
Hello, welcome back. That was Bridgeless from Umphrey's McGee. Love this band. If I'm going to make a top 10 of 2014, and not only did they make the list, this is probably the album I've listened to the most. I love this band.
Yeah, that's I don't know them, but I don't know what it is. I love making lists of, like, you know, that's just something music nerds do, I guess. Top 5 greatest punk albums, top 5, you know, like, so for sure we'll have to do a show early January or end of December or something of our top picks for 2014, because I'm sure definitely people care.
Definitely.
Hey, did you ever see that movie, what was it called, with John Cusack, and he owned the record store?
High Fidelity, yes. Yeah.
Man, that movie is great. And, like, I remember...
Fantastic.
That movie is so good. I absolutely love that movie. Everybody in it was just awesome. Such a great movie. Anyway, maybe sometime we'll do movie reviews or something.
I remember the one scene in that movie, not only the part where the little dude beat the guy with the phone. That was hilarious. But Cusack's character also... I can't remember exactly what it was, how he worded it, but I think he decided to completely reorganize his entire, and his vinyl collection was like that of a store worth of stuff.
Autobiographical.
That was it. Yeah.
The one guy comes over and he's like, "How are you organizing these?" He's looking around and he's like, "It's not alphabetical, not chronological." And he's like, "Autobiographical."
Autobiographical. And the guy was like, "That sounds amazing. Can I help?"
Yeah, he's like, "I'll cancel my plans. I'll stay here and help you."
That was funny. Yeah.
Dude, through that whole movie, he's always making his list of top 5 whatever. And then at the very end, when he, like, signs that skater punk electronic band or whatever, they're like, "What's your record label name?" And he says, "Top 5 Records." And I just thought, like, "Gah! Man, that's such a cool name for a record label." Yeah. I love that. That's cool.
Yep. Everybody out there went, "Oh, that was so obvious. How did I not think of that myself?"
Yeah, I love that movie. I think we started talking about something before. Oh, it was just the list thing reminded me of that. So, yeah, we'll make a 2014 list and probably play some music from that at some point. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of your shoulder hurting and you're a big sissy... Drum tracks are done for the Grace and Thieves EP. Now we have to record. Shut up. you guys can't see it because this is audio, obviously. And that's ridiculous that I have to explain that to you. But Travis is sitting here. He's got ice on his shoulder. He's, like, whimpering. Even just bringing it up, it hurts. It's like
You're
a phantom
a liar.
Limb kind of
thing. He's a liar. I have video proof that none of that's true.
No, I'm really excited because actually for the first time in my life I have pretty decent gear. So I think the guitar, at least the sound of it, is going to sound pretty good. And one of the things I got is I scored a very cool vintage Ampeg combo amp from 1969. It's a G20 something something. I don't know. I already forget. But it's got 2 10-inch speakers in it. And I did something kind of cool. I was looking for – I really wanted an Ampeg guitar head, and I really wanted to make a 2x10 guitar cabinet. And then I found this Ampeg 210 combo amp all together like that. And I thought, oh, that's cool. So what I did is I cut out a hole in the back of the amp, and I put a jack mounting plate there. And then I soldered some leads from the amp to a speaker jack. And then I soldered some leads from the speakers onto another quarter-inch jack. And so now I can take, say, my orange head, and I can plug that into the speakers, and it acts just like a 2x10 cabinet. Or I can take the head output and I can plug it into my 112 with my Celestion Gold speaker in it. It sounds awesome. Or I can just put a short little jumper between the two and it works like a combo amp. I thought that was kind of genius. Like, you know, making the best of both worlds.
How did you think of that? Did you look that up, or did you just are you just honestly that smart? Because I don't believe the latter at all.
Well, I understandably so. No argument there, but. No, I just thought, like, I was like, oh, man, this would be cool, like, if only they were separate. And I thought, well, I mean, I do wiring and stuff for my job, and so I'll just rewire that crap. And it turned out good. It's a great amp. It cleaned up nice. It needed a little bit of work, but I got nothing I couldn't do. And I got this sweet-sounding Ampeg amp that's, I mean, it's probably not older than you. It was made in 69.
hilarious.
But no, it sounds really good. I'm stoked to have that sweet, sweet amp.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. I'm stoked to hear the album finished, because I worked very hard on getting my album getting my drums done. And see, here's the part where the drummer hands over his tracks and the rest of the band takes forever. Yet for some reason, it's everybody's fault, you know.
Yeah, he worked hard through the pain of his shoulder. No, we haven't actually talked much about this, and we'll probably
keep cracking the same jokes. People aren't going to know if this is the end of the podcast or if they're only 3 minutes into it, because you need new material.
We haven't talked much about the EP. It's actually going to be a split 7-inch. We're just doing one side of it. But the cool thing, we'll have more details on it later. But all the money that comes in for this record is going to a charitable organization, basically some friends of mine who are missionaries. Not the proceeds, all the money that comes in for it. We're paying to put this out, and we've got some of my friends who work in the pressing plants are cutting us a little bit of a break, so the price is going to be cheaper, but we're going to pay to put it out. All the money that comes in, minus PayPal fees, is going to support our friends who are working overseas. More details on that, but I thought that was kind of cool. You know, a lot of times, and it kind of sparked it. I remember there was some big thing on, I don't know, in the press that, like, Kim Kardashian got busted for selling off her jewelry. She sold some, I don't know, jewelry or some crap. I didn't really pay attention. But everyone was mad because she said she was giving proceeds to charity. And she gave, like, 1% or something. And everyone was like, well, technically, she did give some of the proceeds. And I just thought, man, that's bunk. And so many people, especially with nonprofit organizations and charitable type things, so many people have... there's so much overhead or there's so much involved that very little of the money actually makes it through. And so we thought, to hell with all that, we'll just put the record out and all the money that comes in. Obviously, shipping costs for the record, we'll use that to pay for shipping and any PayPal fees that get ate up. That's one thing, but we're not keeping any of the money, not to recover our costs, not anything. So I think that's cool. And a lot of people have come together to help on it. Josh from Slaves BC is doing the artwork for free. We'll go into more of that. I'm starting to get up on a little soapbox or promo thing, but I'm excited. I'm real excited about it too.
It's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I know what you mean. A lot of people, they all donate food the day before Thanksgiving, you know, stuff they didn't need, stuff they don't want. And then the shelter, has way too much to deal with. Can't get it all out there. And they wind up like, almost becoming like ungrateful and turning people away. And whenever somebody donates something, it's all the stuff you don't want anymore. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. That's not soapboxy. People should know where the money's going.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it is hard, and the government's involved in so much stuff. If you want to be a not-for-profit type organization, there's so much drama you have to go through. And originally, I mean, even Veritas Final, we initially thought of making it a not-for-profit type organization, and we thought, you know what, that restricts us even more. If we just pay the taxes, then we can do whatever we want with the money. No question asked. There's no government microscope in our business telling us what we can and can't do. We do what we want. And so sometimes we just give records away and, you know, hope people pay for them. And that's the other thing. The music, the digital is going to be free. And the record's going to sell for basically probably like $4 for the 7-inch.
It's crazy.
So it's going to be cheap. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be cool. And I'm excited. It won't be summer until it's out. But
how many colors?
I don't know. We don't have all that worked out yet.
I'll take one of each.
Okay, cool.
Digital. One each color digital, I mean.
Okay.
Because it's free. I don't want to spend any money.
They'll be like $800 each, probably.
Man, I don't understand this digital vinyl thing. I just can't get the hang of this.
Travis at some point said, hey, man, I'll buy my own copies. And I said, no, you don't have to do that. This is for the Unteachers album. I said, no, it's cool, man. Let me just send you some copies. And he said, whatever, I'll just buy my own. And so I happened to be in front of my computer, and I logged into my website.
He raised the price to $800 live on the website just so I couldn't do it.
So if any of you happen to log in and try to buy the Unteachers album for that, like, 2 hours that I left it, and it was $800, that's why. That was me messing with Travis. It's back to $12 or whatever now, so please go buy it.
It's a little more. It's on sale. Yeah, get them quick. They're going to go back up to $800.
Yeah, you never know. one thing I feel like maybe we should mention in regards to Unteachers, despite the fact that this whole episode turned into one big Unteachers ego stroking fest.
Hey, thanks.
Stevie just had a baby.
Yes, I have a new cousin. My cousin had a cousin, yes.
Man, maybe this isn't cool, but that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen.
Wow, that is not cool.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm jealous because she fell out with more hair than I have right now. Friggin' yeah. Italians, you know?
No, she's adorable. I always want to be the guy who, like, jokingly, you know, comments on some Facebook page like, hey, are you guys all making these comments up? I mean, that is an ugly baby. I can't do it. Like,
are you seeing the same picture I am?
Yeah. That baby is ugly.
She's beautiful, Jesse. You shut your stupid mouth.
Yeah, no, she is. She's gorgeous. And just even in talking to Stevie, since the birth of Alice, he's completely changed as a person.
Yeah, kids do that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Believe it or not, this is, I'm more mature now than before I had him. Like, imagine what it was like before I had him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I don't have any experience.
Congrats to Stevie and Sarah. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I guess that's it. What song in closing do you want to play?
Oh, I didn't know I was doing another song. All right, I'll go with another Bethlehem artist. Came out with an album this year. I'm going to play "Mirror, Mirror" from a band called Secret Cutter.
That's the other band you won't shut up about. Hey, have you heard Secret Cutter? Hey, have you heard these guys?
Because they're heavier than your mom. That's why.
Okay, that's a bold statement, but we'll see. And I told you I've been super old school lately, so I'm gonna play something early NoFX, probably S&M Airlines or something. So
right on. There you go.
Anyway, that's it. Peace out. See y'all next week.
Good night, y'all.
Yeah.
trip.